Welcome to It's All Journalism, coming to you from the Online News Association's annual conference in Chicago.
It's All Journalism was chosen to participate in the midway within the conference, so this interview you're about to hear was done on the floor in the middle of the chaos. Okay, guys, welcome to It's All Journalism's The How To session, How To podcast. I'm here with Michael O'Connell. We are in the middle of the midway at ONA 14. They moved us. So we're pinch hitting a little bit. We're figuring things out.
We're out of our corner.
We're just going to start with basics, and then towards the end of the presentation, we're going to get to specifically what you need as far as programs, hardware, all that stuff.
Yes.
So, It's All Journalism. Do you want to start into sort of how we got started and when we got started and all that?
Sure. Actually, Megan and I and there was another early producer, Jolie Lee, were students at American University's Interactive Journalism Program. And one of the great things about that program is they bring in a lot of experts, working journalists, who talk about basically, you know, what was going on in the field and how they do their jobs. And we kind of came to this feeling once we were getting towards the end of it that we wanted to sort of continue those conversations because we saw that there was a lot of value in that type of information. And so we batted some ideas around. We came up with the idea of an audio podcast, which turned out to be kind of pretty easy to do because I worked at WFED, which is a radio station in New York.
A little love from the audience. I love that.
In Washington, D.C. So did Jolie Lee. And Megan works for WTOP, the news station in D.C.
So they were kind enough to let us use their studios when they're not being used, which gives us professional sounding audio, which is huge.
So, step one, get a job in radio.
Don't do it from your basement.
Let's cross that out because you don't need to do that.
Okay, so let's go into why audio versus doing maybe like a Ustream or a recorded video.
YouTube, something like that.
We found, obviously, podcasts are coming back. They're being downloaded. I mean, obviously, there are the popular ones, but there's more and more coming on the market all the time. You can take it anywhere. Mobile's, obviously, as we know, huge right now. It's personal and conversational, and that's how we like to keep the tone of our podcast. We don't go in with, like, 20 questions and then not listen to the person. You want to, like, just kind of let things flow and see how they go and talk.
You want to build a conversation. There may be a couple of people who are a little older in this might remember a man named Dick Cavett. He was known for doing sort of what Johnny Carson and David Letterman did and Jay Leno did, but did it in a very conversational way. I don't necessarily say he's our icon, but it's that sort of approach that we want to have a conversation and record that conversation because people respond to that.
It also lends itself well to long form. You can decide what long form is, right? If you want to do a 5-minute podcast, great, and that works for a lot of topics. If you want to do 40 minutes because the conversation's phenomenal and you think it's going to hold people that long, that works too.
There's a guy, and this is gonna make Megan turn white. There's a guy that I listen to a podcast, Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. He uploads 3.5-hour long podcasts.
Yeah,
and
I don't,
it's like,
no offense to Dan, I don't know that that's the best.
So there are ways to do it. Lots of different ways.
Okay, so we decided if you have an idea for a podcast, just before you get started to sort of frame what you want to do, we picked the niche of journalism, technology, new media, and what projects are going on there and talking to leaders in that specific area. So you want to pick a niche that obviously there aren't a lot of podcasts on because you want to pull in a specific audience. But you also want to, it helps you sort of narrow the guest list and decide who you want to go after and who would be really good guests as opposed to having such a wide net.
So, and then we also, the nice thing about journalists are a lot of them are in social media. They're pretty easy to contact. In my own personal experience in being in newsrooms, and I'm sure probably a lot of you have the same experiences, some of the best conversations I've ever had have been in newsrooms. And these are smart people who are good at telling stories and expressing themselves. So for us, it was a boon in picking this particular focus.
Yeah, and then it helps us that we're journalists, but it also if you're going to pick a niche, plug into that. Know who's who in that industry. Know the movements that are big and, follow the people you need to follow and just sort of do your homework on who you need to be following so that you're relevant.
And be enthusiastic about it, too. I mean, you don't have to be an expert, but, people respond to your passion. And that I think is good.
So the reason I think that we do so well, so we started 2 years ago. We went from our friends listening to this month we have over 6,000 downloads.
Yeah, in this month.
And I think a lot of that has to do with our interview style. It's very fluid. It's not, okay, on to the next thing. You know, I mean, we're just talking, and it's personality driven. Like I said earlier, you want to have a couple questions in mind for those lulls in conversation, so you're not going, you know, you can kind of look to what you want to go to next. Tangents are fine. If people get off on, you know, like talking about their, you know, a project they did or something in their past that's interesting, let that flow. And then sort of know how you want to get back to the conversation you want to have.
And this is something that I've noticed. In, you know, I work at a radio station where they have very, you know, they have to hit their mark so that they can run their commercials and go to a next show or stuff. With podcasting, you have this sort of the freedom to go a little longer with the conversation and take it into different places. You're not so much, there's not so much stricture around what you're doing.
So. Yeah. And then finally, we always do ours in the morning, so I always have trouble getting my energy up. But you don't want to come in like, hey, it's all journalism, and thanks for... I mean, you want to be excited about what you're doing. That'll come through in your voice.
Energy level. That's,
energy
that's,
level.
You don't want to be monotone. You want to be active.
Okay, so getting to know all your hardware, because it's all going to give you some kind of glitch. Even iPhones sometimes when you're like, why aren't you going back to the home screen? I mean, you kind of have to know what problems it's going to give you before you start, right? If your audio levels aren't coming in very well, if they're really low or they're peaking really high, and we'll get into what you kind of want to look for, stop the conversation. Don't be afraid to be like, you know what, 2 seconds, this isn't really coming through that well, because if you keep going and then you're adjusting it, it's going to sound really odd and not professional. Understand your audio levels and where you want them to be. Generally, in most programs, you want them to be at 80%, and they all have different ways of showing you what 80% is. But if the lines are going straight off both the top and the bottom, you're way too hot, and you need to pull them down, the mic level down.
And this is important for somebody like Megan, who is very loud.
I'm very loud, yeah. Our mic levels are not ever the same.
Yeah, yeah,
he's more soft-spoken.
I'm very much soft-spoken. So the idea is to meet somewhere in the middle.
And make sure that, you know, you don't want my voice to dominate and hardly be able to hear him, so it's even. And finally, you want to kind of experiment. There's going to be a couple guests that you can't get in person. So you want to see, you know, call your sister or call your partner and be like, let's figure out this Skype thing and see if I can record it and how it works before you try it for the first time.
Right. Yeah.
Google Plus as well.
Yes.
Editing. The program that we use is Adobe Audition. And part of that is just because we work at a radio station, so we have all of that kind of expensive...
We have access to it.
We have, yeah, access to expensive programs.
It's pretty easy to use.
Audacity is it free or is it very cheap?
It's either free... It's free.
It is free.
And that's
okay.
What we're using here. There are people who, you know, don't love Audacity, but it's down and dirty. It's very easy to use.
It's very simple. And that's... I mean, if you're just doing a conversation, that's all you need. You know, if you're not going to do fine edits and... It works perfectly. As far as intros and outs, we always keep ours standard. Generally, we always say, welcome to It's All Journalism. I'm Megan, this is Mike. And then we start introducing who we have as our guest. The more standard it sounds, the more your listeners are going to recognize, yep, this is what I wanted. This is the intro I was expecting, and you kind of ease them into it.
And one of the things we probably should have talked at the beginning about, if you're interested in podcasting, you probably should start listening to podcasts. Listen to podcasts of people and topics that you're interested in, but also different types of podcasts, because it gives you a sense of the way people are delivering it. I listen to a variety of different podcasts. I'm thinking Mark Maron, who does a really great interview podcast.
Yeah.
He has a standard open, but then he also plays around with it. He does, because he's a comedian, he does sort of these monologues at the beginning, but they're all different. So it's like you're sort of balancing the standard with the different. So there are different ways to do it, but I think if you can sort of set a pattern of intro and outro, it helps to sort of pull things together.
Music. Can be controversial, because us big school J or big J people are like, oh, music. I don't know about that. It's going to sound cheesy. But even Radiolab has a little do-do-do-do-do.
Yes.
You know, it's like something that makes you recognize you're in the right spot.
And our catchy tune that we have, we got that online. It was, I think we paid $6 for it, and then we have sort of unlimited ability to use it. There's a, you know, lots of public domain music out there that you can use. I appeared on a podcast a few months ago, some friends of mine, and they actually run music under under their interviews, and you know, I asked him about how can you get do that. And he says, well, because you because the problem is with like iTunes is that if you play a song on iTunes, that runs into some ownership problems and things that you need to be paying. But if you sort of talk over, what they do is they talk over it to the entire thing, so it's not quite the same thing.
Well, and didn't he say they use music as like a gauge of where they are? Like if they're in part of the music where like it's starting to get up tempo, they're like, okay, we have about 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
So it kind of, if you're not so good at keeping, you want to be focused on the conversation and not on the, you know, the time code. Maybe that's an option for you.
Yeah. No, what he does.
No, we do it later.
He had some experience where editing audio together, music together. So he would create like a 45-minute bed, and he'd start it as sort of their intro, and then they'd start talking into it. And at some point, the song would come up a little louder, and so he knew that, okay, we're going to need to wrap up. And with that approach, what was nice about it is it gives them sort of a natural feel. You're not rushing to the end. They kind of just soft landing.
Yeah, and as far as music goes, you can do what you want to do. If you want to pull it through the whole thing, that works. We use it right before our intro, and then we kind of fade it down and then start the intro. And it's not that long. It's just enough to sort of establish.
Yeah.
Finally, as far as editing goes, you're going to have people go, ah, wait, I want to say that differently. And it depends on how you want to do that. You know, I mean, if you're like, no, this is, we're going to do this in a journalism way and just, you know, what you say goes, that's an option. Our guests were like, you know, we're pretty laid back. So if you want to rephrase what you just said, that's fine with us. But what happens when you do that is you lose the flow of conversation. You know, you lose people talking over each other, and it makes for a little bit more difficult editing. So when you do that, just make sure you know how you led into that question. So they're sort of responding in the same way and answering that question. Also, breaths. Michael takes big breaths. And so, and that's fine. You just have to make sure that when you're going through, if it's in any way distracting, you want to pull those out.
See, she said that it's fine that I can breathe.
He can breathe, as long as I can edit. And the other thing is any kind of verbal crutches, which we all have, stutters, which happens all the time when you're trying to form a question. Sometimes you just want to clean it up just to make it sound clear, but you also don't want to take away that person, the way that person's voice comes across. If that's the way they talk, that's the way they talk, and that's what they're going to expect to hear. So I would keep the editing to a minimum.
Yeah, and actually,
that's the word I was looking for.
I can tell you that most of the editing we do is really for the two of us. Taking up, I mean, we had someone on recently who stuttered a bit, and I may have taken out a few of his stutters, but by and large, we leave it as is. And we've had instances where people have like, oh no, I didn't want to say that. We'll take out like a big chunk of it. The other thing, I don't even know if we touched on interviewing. You know, this type of interviewing is different than what you're going to do if you're a print journalist or a regular journalist. You know, interviewing somebody at the city hall or something. You know, you need to be more active, and this is part hucksterism, part entertainment. You need to bring your energy levels up. You need to sort of be in charge of the conversation. Listening is always a huge thing when you're a journalist, but it's really kind of crucial to what you're doing here.
Right.
You can't just ask questions. You need to listen to the response and react to it, because the larger thing that you're creating is a conversation. And so, like I said, it's different than a standard interview. Just because you're a journalist and you have all this experience interviewing, you got to be aware that you're not just gathering information. You're creating a product or a show or something that you want people to listen to. So you got to make it sure that it's engaging. So that should always be in the back of your mind, that whatever you're doing, that you're creating something that people want to listen to. I mean, it may be interesting, but if you're dull, if you're the person you're interviewing is dull, and it's just, well, how do you think this is? I think this is fine. Oh, well, how do you think this is? I think that's fine. If you just do that, people aren't going to listen to it.
It's also okay to break off, like, if Michael says something funny, and I can just respond to Michael. It doesn't always have to be one-to-one, one-to-one.
Right.
Like, we can, you know, the more guests you have, and we've experimented a couple times with having four, just because it creates more, it forces a conversation, and it forces different interactions, which can be interesting.
Yeah, and that was something we discovered by accident, by having four people at one time. It's like, you know, this is kind of interesting. It's a very different dynamic.
Okay, so the next step you want to do is where your podcast lives and figure out what distribution systems you want to use. We're on WordPress. Obviously, Blogger's an option, and you know all the different blogging sites that are out there. decide if you want to use YouTube or not. We have experimented with Ustream, but we found that it doesn't really deliver much for us.
And you can do audio podcast on YouTube, but of course you need to provide a video element, so that means it's just going to be a placard that...
Yeah, which isn't really lend itself well necessarily. SoundCloud, obviously free. Once you get past a certain storage limit, you have to pay for the year, which I would recommend doing because it's very friendly as far as sharing goes.
Yeah, one of the great things about the reason we started doing SoundCloud is because we started this association with the Association of Alternative News Media. And they didn't have an audio player on their website. But SoundCloud allows you to embed an audio player. So we load our audio on our audio server, and then I'll go and I'll load it on to SoundCloud as well. That allows them to
embed it easily.
Embed it. And then we also get traffic in there. It's another thing. Don't just put things on one platform and expect people to see it. You need to be around. You get your podcast around as many different places as you can. Because the more exposure you get, you know, you have a finite audience. You know, we have a finite audience. We know that there are journalists who listen to podcasts. Those are primarily the people who are going to listen to us. How are we going to get, you know, if we just put it on iTunes, there's only going to be a certain percentage of journalists who get stuff on iTunes. So we put it on SoundCloud. We put it on Stitcher. So what we've done is we've expanded our base. We still have that 10%, but because we were drawing from a larger pool, our base number grows. So that's get out there.
Talk about Blueberry, because Michael, in all honesty, that's another thing we should talk about, is having roles and who's responsible for what. And he's more responsible for like the back end stuff and uploading. So setting up a Blueberry account.
Right. We use Blueberry. It's not the only system that's out there. It's a podcast hosting system. Basically, what we're doing when you record a podcast, you're creating an audio file. But that audio file has to be online somewhere in order for people to access it. So there are various things you can do with iTunes. But the bottom line with iTunes is you have to have an RSS feed in order for them to draw your audio. So that audio needs to be somewhere online. So our first step was we created a WordPress site so that would be our home for our content. Then we could load, if we wanted to, our audio onto the WordPress site. But one of the things that I was reading in my research about this is you don't want to have your main site and your audio content on the same site. Because what happens if you interview Barack Obama and suddenly you have 100,000 people trying to download it, it's gonna crash your main site. So you want to have two different places. You want to have a site where your audio is that it has got a little resiliency and a little room, so that it's prepared for spikes.
Yeah.
So Blueberry is a podcasting platform. You get a subscription there. You're allowed to bring out a certain number of files of a certain number of size, depending on what your pay plan is. We're kind of on the low end of the pay plan, but it's still giving us a lot of room. So that's where our audio lives. Every week I load up there. I get the RSS feed. Well, actually, I get the URL for that file, and then I link that on our main. On our main page and to the players there, and then
that creates the RSS.
That creates the RSS feed. So then the RSS feed is linked to both Stitcher and to iTunes. So as soon as we load up on Blueberry, they appear on iTunes and Stitcher. So it's just you go step by step by step. And yes, why do I do Stitcher and iTunes? iTunes is, well,
first of all,
Android. Yeah, and this is something we came at. We actually have a pretty large audience overseas, which really kind of surprised us. And we got into conversations with some people in Germany, and they were like, "Well, you know, a lot of people in Germany don't have iPhones. They don't use Apple, but they do use Android. So, Google Play can also be a place where you can put your RSS feed and it can draw to, so that you're going beyond just the iOS." Audience.
Stitcher is also podcast friendly. A lot of podcasts are there, including the big ones. And so it seemed to, like, a natural fit. If you're somebody who's looking for a podcast, it seems like we should be there.
Yeah.
You know?
This American Life is on iTunes. This American Life is on Stitcher. They're everywhere. And it's the same thing I was saying before. The idea is you get it in multiple places where people can access your content. And that makes it easier for your audience to access what you're doing. It sort of makes it better for you. It's sort of spreading it more to more people.
Michael just did a website redesign, and it's awesome. It's responsive. We used to have it basically so, like, the top podcast was taking up the width of the page.
It was a blog layout.
Which is the basic
that you get from WordPress.
And obviously, we're sort of more visually oriented anyway, but we have a picture of every single person we interview. If they're away, we have them send us a picture, so there's some kind of visual impact there. If they're here with us, we want to take that picture, and we want to either be in that picture or, like, sort of establish they're in our space, so we kind of own the fact that they were in person.
And the nice thing about this particular design, this is a mobile design, and if you go to this website, you will see all of our podcasts.
It just continues to scroll.
It just continues and continues to scroll. You can do that on your iPhone as well. It's kind of a crazy thing. We like it because our previous design, you'd see the first page, and you'd have to turn to another page to see other stuff. And we kind of felt that people weren't seeing our older content, which was still valid and still interesting. We were linking to it within stories, but it didn't seem to make a difference. But as soon as we went to this mobile design, we saw a huge spike in our downloads and people listening to our content. And there are two reasons for that. One, I think people could see all of our content. But the other is that the players are here. So if you go to this website on here,
itsalljournalism.com.
Itsalljournalism.com on your iPhone or on your mobile device, you'll be able to scroll through, and it becomes a player in and of itself. You don't need to download it. You can actually play it there. Now, if you click on the headline or the photo, that'll take you into the story. You can read more about it.
Yeah, and that's another thing. You want to figure out if you want to anchor your story in, on your site. We put up an article we started This is good. You guys are going to learn a lot from us.
Yeah, this is a real journalism journey here.
We posted, like, a giant article in the beginning because we were so into it and we were so interested. And we couldn't even figure out if people were reading through the article. Then we also posted a transcript for SEO purposes. So we literally were transcribing 40 minutes of audio for each one of these, which was very labor-intensive.
We don't have a revenue stream at this point, but we could certainly have hired somebody to transcribe it. To transcribe or to not transcribe. Yeah, people will be able to search your content, but then you kind of have to sort of step back and say, well, what is it I'm trying to do here? Am I trying to write an article? Am I trying to get just people to read this stuff? I mean, what is the value of the search? What is it to what I'm actually trying to accomplish? We decided that our interest was in creating an audio podcast, that we wanted people to listen. If we were giving them all of the content in text, we were concerned that they would
read it and then
search. But
yeah,
why would they click on the audio if they've already got everything in there? So for us, it was going back and forth. And it was like, well, what does this mean? What's the value of our content?
Well, so, and then you just have to be smart about tagging and making sure whatever you are writing, you're using the key phrases and the key names that you need to use. So any SEO you can get out of it, you are. We kind of just hit all of this.
Yeah,
photos,
exactly.
Transcripts, and making sure that as far as gaining traction goes, as soon as you're uploading all of that stuff, the natural next step is social. Social media. What we do is, as soon as we finish an interview with someone, we go, hey, it was great interviewing at Michael O'Connell today. We're planning on posting this Friday, next week, whatever. That hooks Michael to be like, yeah, thanks, It's All Journalism, for talking to me, and I'll follow you. And then you all of a sudden have access to whoever's seeing his feed. And so you want to, like, jump on that engagement or that connection right away. And then once you post, you do it again.
Yeah.
And hopefully that person shares the podcast link.
And we, the first day that we'll post a story, we'll post it to our Facebook page. We'll post it to Twitter multiple times during the day. After we do our interview, we thank the person. And then when we post the podcast, we send them an email, we send them the link, we thank them, we ask them, hey, if there's anybody else who you think would be a good podcast guest, please let us know. And we're going to be promoting this on social media over the next week. Please retweet us and share us with your followers. And that's sort of a way that we can sort of spread what we're doing.
I just put D.C. in here because we are based in Washington, D.C., which is helpful as far as if you're not based there, a lot of journalists are in and out of there, which makes it fortuitous for us to get people in person.
Yeah, but if you, you know, if you're doing a podcast in Memphis and you want to do music, I mean, or you know that there's a base group of people that you're interested in that you want to interview and bring in and do some sort of podcast. You want to do a podcast about, you know, Gotham, the new Batman show. So yeah, I got a comic book reference into this one. Then
he's a comic book geek.
So anyway.
And then branding. I mean, as far as that goes, you guys want to obviously come up with a logo, make sure it's in all of your, whatever you're sending out. Make sure that in SoundCloud, it's our main image whenever we embed anything. And then, if, for example, if we have somebody from NPR and they were recommended to us from another person at NPR, we're going to tweet out those two people and make sure everybody who follows them knows they like each other, we like them, we've interviewed both of them, here are both the links. I mean, try and get as much traction as you can out of every interview.
Our biggest download was Stephen Thompson of the Pop Culture Podcast on NPR.
Pop Culture Happy Hour.
Happy Hour, and he saved it, or he shared it on his blog, and it just went like crazy. So, you know, this is, you're living online, you got to take advantage of the resources that are out there and establish these contacts and you know, make it something that builds.
Finally, just as far as before you get started setting expectations, based on how much time you have to do it. I mean, editing takes about an hour. For an hour podcast, for a 40-minute podcast. Writing that little article takes, I mean, depending on how fast we all write, but maybe a half hour. Doing social, that all adds up, you know, and doing the podcast itself is an hour. So we end up probably spending together five hours a week on it with just two of us.
Does that include the interview?
That does include the interview.
Well, and then,
six then?
And then on top of that, you have to you talk about the engagement ahead of time, reaching out to people. I mean, that's stuff that we do around the rest of our job.
We decided to publish every week. Maybe that's not right for you. Maybe you want to do every 2 weeks. Maybe you want to do once a month. But to make sure your listeners know when to expect it, and it'll be there when it should be.
Yeah. That's one of the things that, you know, everybody could probably imagine that they would want to do a podcast, but it's really important to, in building your audience, that you give them some sort of regularity, that some sort of expectation, and you know, that's what they'll respond to.
Planning ahead, I mean, this conference is awesome for us because we're getting all these interviews and we're like set for 2 months. But a lot of times, you know, you might have people who get back to you, hey, we can all do it in this 1 week, but we can't get anyone for the next 2 weeks. So that week's crazy because you get three interviews in the bank, but then you're good. I mean, you kind of have to think, yes, this is the bird in the hand. Like, I have to figure out how long I have to plan out to make sure we are publishing every week. We're pretty good on Twitter. We post on Facebook. But as far as, like, owning a social platform, I would say Twitter is ours.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one. Facebook has been sort of sketchy for us. I've used their promote post a few times. And we'll get more people to our site, but to the Facebook page, but I'm not too sure how many people are following through on it. And you know, we could certainly probably make a more concerted effort, but at this point we haven't been doing that.
The only thing that we didn't touch on that I think that we should is as far as reaching out to guests, we usually have a template that we use, and it's not like, you know, dried up and old and template. But basically we're just saying, this is what we are. This is what our mission is, and like, we're pretty free flowing. If you just want to come in and talk about what project you have going on or what you're interested in the industry or whatever you want to talk about, here's kind of what we're thinking. And then we share three of the last podcasts, which usually brings us to our new site, which shows them how much we have going on.
Yeah, and also send them some links. If you're talking to somebody who's dealing with data, maybe you've interviewed somebody on data or on technology to some extent, you include those links and say, hey, this is the type of stuff we've done. And also, I mean, just, you know, have a journalistic approach to it as well. Timeliness. If there's some big story coming up, one of our most successful podcasts was sort of happenstance for us. We interviewed Kat Downs the week after the Boston bombings, and she came in and she talked about how the Washington Post had covered that event.
From an interactive standpoint, from a graphic standpoint.
So it was really fascinating, made for really good. And here's one of our podcast guests, Tony Haley from Chartbeat.
And you want to obviously be on top of what's going on. But, I mean, we had Bill Keller, a former New York Times editor, on a couple weeks ago. So we asked him about the innovations report. I mean, you got to I mean, we're all journalists, so when we scheduled him to be on, it was to talk about the Marshall Project, and then the innovation report happened. So you got to go for what you have.
And good social media practices. I mean, if somebody retweets you or likes you or something, thank them, and you know, ask them to share us, and then we appreciate the feedback. I mean, it's just being good. You know, one thing that we didn't include here that probably is worth mentioning: we're a corporation. You do not have to be a corporation to start a podcast, but if you go to a certain point where you say, well, maybe I want to take this to the next step, we went to LegalZoom, we formed an LLC
to
sort of protect our content. You also need to copyright your content as well. If you go onto some of the feeds, I know Stitcher recognizes your copyright outright, but you should always put your copyright on your blog. Just your blog. If you don't do a podcast, make sure there's a copyright on your blog.
Yeah, just to protect yourself and your content.
Yeah. So now we're here for questions.
Yeah, so we are recording this for our little podcast. So if you guys wouldn't mind asking the questions to the mic,
sir,
can hear them, that would be awesome.
Hi.
So,
where are you from?
Wait, here. It's a bracelet. It's a microphone bracelet. There we go.
Hi, my name is Nick Kratzis. I'm from the Observer Reporter in Washington, Pennsylvania.
Pull it down here for me.
And so what I wanted to talk about was I actually come from radio. So
you sound like you have a radio voice, sir.
Yeah. Now I'm an online editor, and this season for our football season, we started a football podcast. It's
going
really well. We've got our four sports guys. They sit in a room, big conference table. It's a lot of fun. The way I've been pushing it is I upload it to SoundCloud,
yeah,
and then we create an article, embed it into the article, and then we also have a playlist on our sports page.
Excellent.
Right.
Okay. So the issue I'm having though is how do I get SoundCloud? I can't seem to figure out how to get from SoundCloud to iTunes. Because iTunes wants an RSS feed, but I can't figure out how to do it. So is there a better way to do it? Am I doing it wrong?
I'm not sure. Since we didn't do SoundCloud from the start, we kind of came to it from the other direction. I'm not sure if you can create an RSS feed from their feed. You may need to create... Now, are you putting... You have a website, I assume. So it's like a newspaper site? Or
yep.
Okay. Maybe you should talk to your tech people about creating an RSS feed for it. On their site, and then maybe where do you load up your audio? Well, you're just loading it up on SoundCloud.
Right now, just SoundCloud, yeah.
I would imagine it's because SoundCloud and iTunes don't want to play together.
Right. Well, it says there's a way to do it, but it's in beta,
yeah.
And I'm thinking, am I missing something?
I would upload it separately from SoundCloud, just to have it,
right,
so it's
right.
In your space, and SoundCloud, it's not the only place that has it, and then create your own RSS feed, even if it's just creating a very simple blog so it lives somewhere, and then you can do the RSS feed from that to iTunes.
And the other thing about iTunes is they want to see that you're kind of committed to this, that you're not just doing, because I can only imagine how many podcasts they get where somebody records one thing and they never appear. I think it's 10. You have to have 10 episodes in. They want to make sure that you're somewhat legitimate. So they have a FAQ in there, an FAQ, where you can that'll answer a lot of those questions. And they're also I know we're doing this, but I should also say that there are a lot of if you're considering doing this, check on YouTube. There are lots of people who talk about doing podcasts.
So. She has the mic. Do you want her,
sure.
Let's have her ask a question first.
Right,
I'm Benay Wilson, and I'm an aviation journalist, and I'm getting ready to start a new job at airways.com.
Okay.
And one of the things I want to do is a podcast. Now, there were a lot of them out there in the aviation space.
Oh, really?
But I want to keep mine to 8 minutes, Airways on
sure.
8. So my question is, and I'm going to be working from home, I'm looking at all your equipment. What equipment do you suggest that we start out with?
Okay, well let's think this through for a second. You can give it to him. So how do you envision the interviews occurring?
I envision just speaking to someone.
So is it
in
is
person?
It in person.
Nope.
Over the phone? Okay, well then probably what you want to do is either do it on a Google Hangout or Skype. And there are programs out there where you can record on your laptop or your computer the conversation.
Simultaneously, as you have them up on Skype.
Yeah.
The other really important thing, if you're Skyping or doing a Google Hangout, you don't want them just talking at their computer. This isn't a G-chat with grandma. I mean, a FaceTime with grandma, let's say it that way. You want to make sure they have a mic of some sort so they're not picking up all the ambient noise behind them. And that can just be the iPhone mic that comes with the phone. That's fine. As long as it's not picking up the dog walking across the hardwood floor and, you know, the oven bell ringing or whatever. I mean, if they're in their home or wherever they are, you want to make sure they're coming through clearly. Check the audio levels before you get started and then record and kind of play with it for a second stop it, play it back, make sure it's all good, and then officially start.
And something somebody else has told me that I've never done, but it seems to make sense. If you're interviewing somebody over the phone or Skype or whatever, have them record their audio on their iPhone or something, and then send you that file. That way, when you get into the editing process, you can bring that together, because sometimes the Skype signal is not going to be very strong, but you can use their own personal audio to sort of enhance what you're doing.
That's really tricky, though, because your sound's going to sound different. It's going to sound patchy. I would use that as a very last resort.
Yeah.
Him first and then you. Sorry. He has the mic.
My name's Mike Webb. I'm with Honolulu Civil Beat. We started a new podcast. It's the first news podcast in Hawaii.
Oh,
so I don't have people who appreciate podcasts, and we don't have an audience that's built in. So I'm trying to figure out ways that I can market it to try and get more people to listen.
To sell the concept of podcasting. This is our opportunity to tout podcasting. It's tough. I mean, there are a lot of people that they don't understand, what do I got to download? How do I do it? It's very easy. I would even almost create a how to listen to our podcast, sort of either.
Or where to listen to a podcast. People don't get that. How they can use it in their car or on a run or on a walk with their dog.
Can they download it? Because I know sound. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. And I would promote that. I promote it on Facebook and Twitter on those accounts. It's an uphill climb. There is only a certain segment of the population that are listening to podcasts. But this is what I was saying before. You got to get yourself out there in as many places you can. Because, again, if only 10% of any audience is going to listen to podcasts, then you need to grow that base. You need to draw on more people to grow the number of people who are actually listening to, even though it's still just 10%.
Just quickly, I would say, just because you're a news site, use that. If you have a story that breaks, you could be like, you want to learn more about this neighborhood, you want to learn more about whatever, here's the podcast that goes with it. I mean, make sure whenever anything's happening that relates to the podcast, you're simultaneously doing that.
Be creative in your promotion.
Finally, yes.
So, hi, I'm Kelly McBride. I'm with the Poynter Institute. I'm an ethicist, and I do a podcast with
excellent.
Art Kaplan, the medical ethicist.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes.
called Everyday Ethics, and we just talk about all sorts of things that have to do with the news and ethics. We're running into this issue where sometimes our stuff doesn't show up on iTunes. Have you guys ever?
Yes.
Your older stuff?
No. The
new
right
stuff.
When we load it. Like, it just won't show up. Like, so if you're a subscriber, it shows up in your feed, but we can't promote it.
There are a couple of things that I noticed early on. Well, first, I'll let you know, iTunes is only going to show the most 50 recent episodes that you have. So as soon as you get beyond 50, then you have to start asking yourself, well, how am I going to get people to access my older content? Which is why we went to the new web design, is so that there's always a place to get all of our content. I've had some instances with iTunes in loading it up, and it just seems like it takes forever for them. Wait hours before. But I had a lot of that at the beginning. I don't have that so much as before. Do you mark your podcast for the audience?
I don't think so. How do you do that?
Okay. Well, if you, because I can't, as ethicists, I don't know what type of ethics you're dealing with, but I can't imagine there are a lot of swear words.
But, we cuss all the time, actually.
Well, you cuss all the time? Well, okay. Well, maybe that's it. There's a parental advisory that you can mark your podcast on. I know you're laughing, but this is something I discovered. So we load ours up on Blueberry, and it gives you the option of how you want to mark that particular episode. Occasionally, we will get a guest who swears, so I will mark that episode, mature content or whatever. But I always make sure that I mark it some sort of content, because I noticed that if I sent a podcast or I uploaded a podcast, there was just a huge, huge delay. But for the ones where I actually marked it, even if it was "this is clean," iTunes would pull it through.
Okay.
So try that. That worked for us. So
okay.
So stop your swearing. You're better than that.
It's funny. funny, though.
It's funny. We like it.
Ethics people swearing. Our audience loves it, actually.
It is funny. It's just, I wonder if it's a matter of them listening to it or them categorizing it a certain way, and they want to take more time to sort of vet it before it's put online.
And I know iTunes, and I'm not saying that this is what your situation is, but I know that iTunes is also very cautious about music. If you have any song or anything.
Well, we have original music. We own the rights to it.
Oh, okay.
So would that hold us up?
I don't know. I don't think so. Yeah, go ahead and contact them. I'm sure they'll get back to you very quickly.
You're sarcastic, right?
Yeah, I'm being... You were able to pick that up. And I have actually contacted them, and I did eventually get a response back to them about some question I had. But I know that it may be just as simple as the music. They may be concerned that it's something that you don't own.
Okay. Length? Yeah, I would contact them. We're not as helpful as we can be on this one.
We contacted them, and what we got was we were like, hey, this didn't show up. And it was like 2 or 3 days later.
Wow.
And then they were like, okay, we fixed it. But they never told us why it didn't show up.
It might be on their end. And I think, you know, like I said, early days I was having problems. But once we got past about the 20th episode, it never happened again.
Okay, and we're at about the 40th.
Yeah, so
we're probably doing something wrong.
Yeah. It might be very simple. It might be.
That's what we think all the time. That's our assumption. So we're probably doing something wrong.
Does anyone else have a question?
More questions?
Questions.
One more.
Do you have a question? Here we go.
Sorry.
There you go.
I'm Leslie Weidenbender from thestatehousefile.com. Can you go over the equipment, though, a little bit more?
Oh, yeah. You know, we didn't really talk about the equipment. Why don't you talk about using your iPhone?
Okay, so I use my iPhone. I'm a radio reporter, local news in D.C. I only use my iPhone to record all my interviews and to edit those interviews. Obviously, I'm not doing 25 to 40-minute interviews. I'm doing 5-minute interviews. But keep that in mind, because your file size is something you need to know. Okay, so I use the app called Vodio. It's spelled V-O-D-D-I-O. It's free, unless you want to send any of your files anywhere. And then it is $10 once, which isn't that bad. So to export it to SoundCloud if it's bigger, to email it to yourself, you have to spend that $10. It's a little bit, it has a couple little tweaks to it. It's one of those things you just have to learn how to use it. For the most part, it's really simple editing, and you're going to want to throw it across the room for the first 2 days, and then you'll finally get it, and just like anything else, then it works for you. I would recommend that. As far as a mic, there, if you go to like Guitar Center, Best Buy, anything that is audio driven, you can get an adapter for any mic. We bought these mics on Amazon, and they work great. your adapter for the mic, and I don't want to unplug this obviously, but they have a universal plug, so any mic that you get is going to have the same adapter plug. No, that's not it.
Well, sorry.
The ones that plug into the bottom of the mic. We'll show you guys once we're done. That you buy an adapter, it has this on one end. The other end is just like a headphone jack, goes straight into your iPhone. You can record, obviously the mic's on the bottom. You can, if you're doing an interview and you just want to hold it up to someone, not here, you want to do it right about like at chest level. It's pretty good audio if the ambient sound isn't distracting. If you're near the highway, if you're in a pet shop, if you're anywhere, anything that's going to be like, oh my gosh, I don't even know how this is going to sound. Just plug a mic straight in, and it will solve your problems.
Always, and almost, well, no, in every situation, use a mic. Don't rely on the internal microphone that comes with whatever the device is.
However, I mean, depending on how you want to use it, if you want to capture, if you're interviewing someone and you want to go to like a talk they're giving, and you want to use a little bit of that natural sound, don't use the mic. Use the room sound. I mean, it just depends on what you're looking for, but it works well.
But for example, what we're doing right now, and what we did the last couple of days at our table is we use these mics to record interviews. And there's a lot of ambient noise, but you know, we acknowledge at the beginning of the podcast, hey, we're in a crowded room and you're going to hear this. But because we have these mics up in front of our face, our voices come in stronger. So that's the mic. That's the iPhone. So what we've got here is we got an audio board, which I got on Amazon. You can also get these on Guitar Center. I think you can order some of these from Radio Shack. There are other. If you look online, there are a couple. I think B&H. I think they do photography, but also audio equipment. This is
Sometimes have the better deals than Amazon.
This isn't the lowest end. This is, I think, like a step up from the lowest end. This allows me to record four mics, four inputs here. This wire here allows me to hook up to...
Straight into the computer.
Straight into the computer. I'm using Audacity to record what I'm going on here. I neglected to bring my portable recorder. It's an H4.
Marantz.
Those are really great, and there's a, you'll see a lot of people who do podcasting and use those.
They make you look like a 1960s radio reporter. They're awesome,
and
they have great sound.
And it's I've had people tell me that they've when they brought these onto a plane that people would stop, you know, they would look at it because it looks exactly like a taser because of the cross mics. But they have their built-in mics where you can like set in between two people, and if it's just in a quiet room between two people, it's pretty good for interviewing people. But you can hook up microphones to that as well, and sort of go from that.
Those have cards that you would pull out and then download into your computer.
Yeah,
and that might be an option if you don't want to spend the money on a bunch of mics and a board. I mean, if you just are doing one-on-ones. You can just pass that back and forth, and that would get you through the first couple of weeks if you want to try that.
But there's quite a lot you can do with your computer, your laptop, with Audacity, GarageBand. When podcasting's first flourished, you know, 8 years ago, everybody was touting GarageBand as something. You know, this is the podcasting platform. It's okay. I haven't used it extensively. I tried it a couple of times. It creates separate audio files where you can edit them and blend them together and create a pretty good package, and you can mix in music and things like that. So GarageBand's not bad, but like I said, we use Audacity primarily on our laptops, Audition at the off. And actually, when we record in the studio, we use Audition again because that's what's at the radio station.
Guys, thank you so much for your questions. Thanks for being here. We are at All Journalism on Twitter. If you want to follow us, we have free weekly podcasts if you want to download them. And these will be kind of cool because we're just grabbing people off the floor. If you have any questions, feel free to tweet at us. Thanks for coming.
We're over next to the bull ring. Please come by. We'd be happy to hand you some cards and a pin. Our this is our
He's very excited about these pins.
All right.
Thanks.
You've been listening to It's All Journalism, a weekly podcast about the changing state of digital news. Find more info on us and download other episodes at itsalljournalism.com. This podcast is produced in partnership with the Association of Alternative News Media. Thanks for listening.